Blog Talk Radio.
Blindsided by change, and do you tend to cling to what you know, even though you are more tired, unhappy, and maybe less productive than you would like to be? There is a solution. Stay tuned. Welcome to the Healthy Baby Boomers Network Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, licensed mental health counselor, healing through love relationship healer, somatic body psychotherapist, and health and wellness coach, helping men and women heal their bodies and their relationships through love. Author of the Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me book series, the romantic novel Love in the Blizzard of Life, and creator of the 30 powerful love lessons for your soul. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter what age you are right now. In every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who are proving that life can and often does get better and better as we reach our 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and beyond. And today I'm delighted to be speaking with John Peitzman, so I want to welcome you.
Thank you for having me.
And let me tell a little bit about you. John Peitzman, calls himself JP, is a certified high-performance coach, professional speaker, and author of the BUILD Framework, a heart-based system for personal and professional growth. From being a child actor, owning a record label, and martial arts schools, to becoming a corporate executive, to working with the Secret Service and the FBI, John Peitzman has mastered change in his own life. He and his wife are living in Australia, and together they founded In Balance with Life, integrating ancient techniques, business methodologies, and high-performance habits to create more health, joy, and success in life. His website is jphighperformancecoach.com. So it's a pleasure to be speaking with you today.
I'm so happy to be here, Erica. Thank you.
And so I would love to hear more about your background, education, training. There's a lot that you've done, and the diverse work experiences that led you to understanding and mastering change in your life and helping others to do the same. I want to add one more thing. So many of us are really afraid of change, and we cling to what's familiar and maybe lose out on what's possible.
That is so true, and it's been my experience throughout my life. And you're right. I mean, I'll do the brief version here, but basically you summed it up there. I started as a childhood actor and did performances and musicals around the Minneapolis, Minnesota area. So I'm actually from the States, and that led into some martial arts activities. So I, you know, became a black belt and an instructor and owned and operated some schools, which led to studying law enforcement, which led to some corporate security type of work, which got me into the corporate environment. As part of a smaller company that became acquired by a larger company, and these larger companies just became, you know, evident and started swallowing up the smaller companies basically through transitions and acquisitions, right? So the thing that you just said is really, really important, which is, you know, that fear of change or wanting to hang on. Because what I did is I basically worked myself out of a job. Every time that a new company would come, I'd say, okay, well, you don't need this role anymore, so I don't need to do that. What can I do? How can I be helpful? And I just went where life took me in a way. And each time, because of that attitude, basically, I was promoted and I got more responsibilities, right? I mean, at the end of my kind of corporate experience of over 20 years, I was running global operations for some of the top multinationals in the world, right? And which got me relocated to Australia, where now I live, right? And it's amazing when you just have that attitude of, yep, look, tomorrow is probably going to be different than yesterday. And even from a job standpoint and everything, it's like, you know, work yourself out of a job. See what you can do for the company you're working in to really be of value, and trust that if you have that attitude of truly providing service to yourself and others, that you will then find a place. And that place usually is a step up from where you've been, because you're not stuck in that past, right? You're actually stepping into becoming your best self, which is why I left the corporate environment eventually and founded the company that I now run, In Balance With Life, where we work with certified high performance coaching and, you know, the Build Framework, which is the book and course and show and everything that I have out there to actually help people step into becoming their best selves. Because, Erica, there's nothing more fulfilling than looking at people and understanding that they're actually able to embrace change and step into the best lives that they've ever had.
And what's interesting about that is I've been a therapist for a long time, and I started to add coaching. And in both cases, the people coming to me recently, many of them are in some job situation that's changing. And either they're very afraid they're going to lose their job, or they've been transferred to some other place, or down, lowered down, you know, and a lot of fear. And I work with them to realize this possibility. They've been freed from whatever they did. And then they have to figure out what they want to do, what will really bring them peace.
Absolutely. It can be the best thing for people if, as you state, they have the right attitude, because that's so important in transitions. Because basically what we do is we have what's called a self-fulfilled prophecy, right? I've been a part of some of the biggest acquisitions and mergers in the world. As an example, when HP, Hewlett-Packard, acquired Electronic Data Systems, right? You know, HP at the time was over 300,000 employees, 141 billion in 165 countries, right? So, and they were, you know, acquiring a company that had about 150,000 employees at the time. So the point is, it's really important to understand that, you know, things are changing in today's world, and you don't want to actually be afraid of what is going to happen, right? And you want to actually be able to say, okay, look, I know that I might not be doing what, you know, I was doing yesterday, but whatever is up there for me to add value is what is important. Because that self-fulfilled prophecy thing I was talking about is that the people in those acquisitions who actually were worried and concerned about losing their job, and all of their energy went into that mindset, guess what? They were the ones that lost their job, most likely, because they were in that zone of complaining and worrying and not actually stepping up to actually see how they could help. Now, the people who were actually aggressively saying, hey, look, I'm just going to be helpful and I'm here, then that, you know, they rise to the top with value. And then a lot of people are in the middle, right? They're like, on the fence, I'm just going to kind of wait this out. That's not that helpful either, because you're not really taking the reins and making sure that you are the master of your own domain and future, right? And even worst case, even if you still, you know, lose your job or whatever, if you do it in that context with that attitude, you're going to land on your feet and you're going to have a better life moving forward, because you're looking at it in that way. So your self-fulfilled prophecy can be either positive or negative. It really is up to us.
And the words that stood up when you were talking were provide value. If we focus on providing value, so much good can come out of that.
Absolutely.
And I also reacted because I'm thinking in terms of relationships. How many people separate or break up or get divorced and only have negative things to say about the other person and feel sorry for themselves? And there are other people that pick themselves up and forgive and understand and move on.
Absolutely. And that's so important, too. And, you know, those who read the book can realize that I've had my share of marriages, right? So I'm on my fourth. And I say that only to say, look, those who are out there who think, oh no, it's never going to happen. I'm never going to find that true love. I'm never going to have that relationship of my dreams. Stick with it. And like you said, don't hang on to the past. Don't hang on to that, you know, that relationship that wasn't working out. I basically, you know, I fell in love with, I married, right? So from very, very young to then didn't work out,
yeah.
Then didn't work out again. The details are in the book. But the point is, I tell that story because as long as you actually move forward and understand, like you said, adding value, not just professionally, but personally in your life, and you go after and become and learn from your past, right? Take accountability for what you were doing that actually manifested those things to not work out, right? And when do you do that and you stay positive, then life finds a way, right? And relationships find a way, right? It's never too late. And, you know, you just have to believe in yourself becoming your best self. And you have to not just believe in it, but then take action and have the right habits in place every single day to actually move forward towards that dream. And you're absolutely right, Erica, that having the habit of looking backwards and complaining and holding on to past negative relationships that are clearly over serves no one at all.
Clinging to something that's over, that doesn't help either. So
exactly.
I have two questions. How did you know it was the right time to make the various changes? And what do you recommend for other people? How do people know when it's the right time?
Yeah, so it's really, really important to understand when the right time is, which is now, obviously, right? But you have to experientially come to that understanding. So, and I have actually a poem that I've written called The Wake of Ambition that, you know, you can go and listen to, which just talks about my whole story, right? And when I came to that realization. But basically, I came to that realization once I, you know, it's like enough is enough, right? And I need to make a change. And it really, Erica, was about that understanding of how I was feeling on the inside, because I had obtained every external success metric that you could identify, right? I had the wife, the child, the house, the job, the money, the credentials, the prestige, the position, the title, the respect, the responsibility. I mean, you name it, right? I had all these things. But on the inside, there was this void, right? There was this longing that kind of needed to be fulfilled for more. And I'm not talking about more stuff of that external things I just mentioned, but actually that intrinsic internal stuff of success, right? That feeling of purpose, of connection, of joy, of peace, contribution, the word we just talked about, value, right? That enthusiasm. And when those things weren't really present anymore, even though I had reached all of these external things, I was like, no, life has more to offer, right? And that's when I said, enough is enough. And that's when I knew that there needed to be a change, right? So I took action and made that change. And now things turned around completely. So to answer the question about when other people need to make that change, I would say from my experience that it's the same type of thing, right? It's really asking yourself, how are you really? I mean, be honest, right? Don't get caught up in the day-to-day noise and chaos of this crazy world so that your life goes by without you realizing how you actually are each day. And if you're not really fully awake and, you know, full of wonder, engaged in your life, right, able to sense the stillness and miracles all around you, open, have that meaning, you're energized, enthusiastic. I mean, all these things are so important. And if all of those things are dull or you don't even know what those things are in your life, then it's probably time to make a change and not just be kind of complacent in thinking that that's how life has to be. So you can look at that and realize life can be better. And when you realize that, then you can make a change. And that time can be right now. You don't have to wait years to make change. It can happen in an instant once you understand that you can be a better person. You can have a better experience in this life. And even if it's amazing, you know, then the question is, okay, how do I sustain that? And how do I get it to even the next level? So it's really looking in the mirror, having that, you know, honest conversation with yourself about not just the external factors and success markers that we talked about, because it's really more importantly about internally how you're feeling and how you're connecting with others, how you're adding value, how you're being of service. And if you're not really happy across all those areas, then that's the answer right there, Erica, that it's time to make a change because you can make it better.
And you mentioned when you feel enthusiastic and excited, you know, and have wonder every day. So even if you have a lot of things, even if your life looks perfect, if you're not having that feeling, then something needs to change. No matter how great it is, the feeling changes over time. So I have another question, and that is, what makes change so difficult for so many of us?
Yeah, so it, you know, can be unsettling, as you talked about, because things are always happening, right? And usually there's, you know, two things that makes it so difficult for most people. And one is that we actually don't realize that we are enough and that change can happen right now, right? See, most of us have the knowledge that we need, but we're still searching externally outside of ourselves. And, you know, it's really understanding that, you know, yeah, and I'm saying there's not, you know, ways to be educated, right, and go get information, but understand this, you don't have to wait, right? You can actually change. So many people are waiting for that thing to happen, waiting for the kids to be grown, mm-hmm. waiting for the right relationship, waiting for the right job, waiting for, you know, taxes to come. I mean, whatever it is, right? we're waiting. It's like, look, you don't need to wait, right? You have enough. It's just about the second thing, which is even when we understand we have enough and we know enough and we just have to trust ourselves, then it's about taking action. Because the second thing is most people, even when you know what to do, you lack the ability to take action. And we do that because, as you kind of mentioned before, we're just so kind of stuck in our habits, right? And kind of the complacency of how life is. So, and that's part of that waiting thing that I just talked about too, waiting for the right time, right? It's the time is now. So,
but,
you know, and understand this, change is always happening.
Right, but the piece in there about making the change yourself is that you don't know what's going to happen. You're going into the unknown. What you have now, you kind of know what it is.
Exactly, and it's that comfort level that allows people to stay stuck in prison. It's the prison of their perception, right? It's like, I know this, I hate it, but I'm going to stay here because I know it and I hate it. And part of my actual identity is complaining about it and wanting to get out, right? Which is ridiculous and insane if you think about it. And most people can identify that in other people, but it's hard to look at ourselves and realize that, look, we're complaining about this thing for how long? I mean, look, you always have three choices. It's pretty simple, right? So, I mean, take any situation, so a relationship, a job, or whatever, right, that you're not happy with, right? And these are the choices. One, you can actually do something about it, right? Leave, right? Easy, okay? So that's one. Two,
right.
you can actually reframe it, right? And that means that even if it's, you know, a tenuous situation and it's, you know, negative, you can look at the positive aspects. I work with people all the time who are in jobs that they're focused on the negative, but then they realize, actually, this does pay the bills. I do have good relationships here. It's going to be okay if I just do this for the next 6 months or a year, because it will lead to the credentials that I need to then interview for the next thing. I mean, you reframe it in a way that you're looking at the positive aspects, because you can almost 100% of the time find positive aspects within a situation, right? And if you can't, then you go back to choice number one, right? Leave, for sure. So those are the two choices,
right.
And both of those choices are okay, right? So you leave, you change the environment completely, or you reframe it. But here's the thing, Erica. What most people do is they do choice number three. And this drives me crazy in a way, because it's insane. And choice number three is this. They complain about the situation and they do absolutely nothing. So days go by, weeks go by, months go by, literally years and decades go by. Sometimes people's entire life goes by, and they're still complaining about the job they hate, the relationship they don't want to be in, the whatever, right? Because they're stuck in that choice number three, which really isn't a choice. It's just kind of staying in prison, right? But most people live in that because, again, part of their identity, part of their pattern, part of their habit is actually being in there and complaining about it, right? So when you realize those three choices in every situation, it makes things so much easier to actually make change.
But it's also because the person doesn't want to look at themselves. It's so much easier to make it look like I have this partner that's a big problem in my life. And if you really leave that partner and can't complain about him anymore, maybe you have to face yourself.
You got it. It's the blame game everyone loves, right? Because then it's like, oh, it's not my fault. You know, it's your reason. I love this, you know, oh, you made me feel this way, right? I mean, no one makes you feel anyway, right? You know, there's factors that come in, but what happens is what happens. How you react to it, now that is your responsibility, right? I mean, literally, and I'm sure your listeners have heard this before, but the word I love, responsible, right, is actually able to choose your response. So a truly response-able person, responsible person, is able to choose their response experientially. So that means that you realize when someone's pushing your triggers or that situation comes up and, you know, you think they're going to make you angry, it's like, actually, no, you're able to choose to be angry or not. And when you have that responsibility, right, of understanding what being responsible is, then that changes everything too. Because to your point, Erica, then you have accountability and you can't blame anyone else for your situation. It's all on you. And when you have that accountability and you know that it's up to you, that can be so empowering because then you're not this victim anymore of your circumstances. You can change your circumstances because you can change how you react to what happens.
Oh, it's so true. It's amazing. It's simple, but boy, it's difficult for so many people. So now another question. How do personal and professional relationships affect each other?
Yeah, well, it's so true that they're intertwined, right? I mean, gone are the days where there's any value in trying to segment out all these different aspects, right? It used to be that, you know, you'd coach someone professionally and they'd say, yeah, but don't talk about my personal world, or you know, people would talk personally to people about situations and say, yeah, but I want nothing to do with talking about my professional world or what have you, you know. And it's really interesting because actually, think about it. We are who we are 24/7. And when you try to change who you are and have these different roles, it just, I mean, it's, I'm a simple guy, right? I mean, it just makes life too complicated, right? So, I mean, you can't be a jerk in the office and expect to be a loving partner at home, right? Or vice versa, you know, this cruel person in relationships and then nice guy.
What comes to mind for me is a police officer. You know, you have to be held together and firm and tough. And then you're supposed to be gentle and loving and not like that at home. And it's not quite that simple.
Yeah. And I mean, absolutely. And that's a good example of where there's certainly different aspects of your personality that you are going to step up to in a particular role, right? Absolutely. And that's a great example. And, you know, looking at law enforcement and, you know, I have a background in that and understand people who have that as a profession and absolutely, you can have a different kind of persona that you go into your work environment with, and you're not going to have that all the time at home or vice versa. But I'm not just talking about the persona or the role you're stepping into. I'm talking about who you are at the core, right? And really the values and all of that. So how that shows up might be different. It might be a little more firm when you're enforcing the law and then when you're at home, you know, because you don't want to actually wear the badge, you know, walking around the house all the time. But the point is, at the core of who that person is, right, if they want that integration and, you know, we use the word balance and success across, you know, all aspects of our lives, that's what I'm talking about. Because when you have that consistency, then you don't have conflict. The problem comes when you try to separate and think that you're a completely different person, right, not just acting a different way because of a role that you have, but actually you're a different person, you think. And that becomes problematic because we're not different people. We are with ourselves 24/7. Regardless of what our role that we might currently be focused on or performing.
Yeah, so what as you're saying that, I'm thinking that a person thinks they are their role, and then they feel insulted if someone doesn't see that at home. So it's not really being who they are. It's being their role.
Yeah, and what I like to talk to people about, and that's why, you know, the subtitle of the book is A Heart-Based System for Personal and Professional Growth. That's what the BUILD framework is all about. And I say heart-based system because it's about moving people from, you know, being in their heads and analyzing their lives to actually being in their heart and experiencing their lives, right? Because when we move our center of gravity, our attention basically to the heart, and we live from there, then we can authentically connect with people, right, from the heart, whether that's at work or whether that's at home, right? But then when you're in that space, you have, again, that integration, that consistency, that balance across those aspects, and you're in a much better place because you're coming from the heart and you're not trying to think your way through how you need to act in a certain environment. You know, because you feel what you need to do.
And that's the quality missing from a lot of people. They're suppressing the feeling part.
Absolutely. It's an
area.
Epidemic, right? We get taught to think, right? We don't get taught to feel. And that's so sad in a way. So that's why, you know, I'm a big proponent and teacher actually of meditation and all these other practices that really allow us to get back to feeling versus thinking. I mean, it's important to think, don't get me wrong, but you want to be able to, again, what I call shift that center of gravity from being in the head all the time as the focus and then trying to go to the heart versus living from the heart and then going to the head when you need to figure things out.
Well, it has not been valued in this society for a while. You know, the mind and intellect has been valued and the heart kind of been devalued, but maybe it's coming back. But
well, we all have a choice, right? Every day is up to us. Value there is, yeah, for us to realize what that does for our lives, for us, and then experientially just make that shift, and then it changes ourselves, and then through changing ourselves, we can change those around us.
Yeah, but it's not that we can change the people around us. They change because we have changed and we're affecting
exactly.
them.
Exactly. Well said. Absolutely. Because they're accountable for that, right? But that vibration, right, coming from the heart and connecting then allows that engagement, right, and interaction with others to actually change.
Mm-hmm. So what is the number one thing that everyone in the world wants, and what does it take, or how do they get it?
Yeah, well, you know, it's a good question. I think that it's kind of a trick answer, I think, that I'll say, which is the word more, because you can apply that to whatever
wow.
that is, right? But most people want more, right? They want more success. They want more happiness. They want more passion in their relationships. You know, most want more money, more energy, more productivity, more meaning, right? So everyone basically wants more of the good things that life has to offer. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
what do you need to get that? Well, you need to activate your full potential, right? So you need to hit into a higher gear and, you know, what I call become, you know, a high performer. And high performer doesn't mean like peak performance and just going crazy and energetic and, you know, always burning out, burning candles at both ends and all this other misconception of what high performance is. High performance is really about just sustaining and maintaining, you know, your levels of clarity, of energy, of courage, of productivity, of influence, right? All of these things that we're talking about, there are habits and specific practices that you can do to step into those areas and increase them in your life across the board. And when you do that, then you get that one thing. You get more of whatever you're after, right? And it comes tenfold because you're actually, again, living from the heart, going forward, becoming your best self, and those things that you're seeking actually, instead of chasing after them, they come to you because you're actually stepping into your best self.
Wow. I've listened to so many people online, coaches and trainers, and they talk about be more productive. And I laugh at that because each time I try to be productive and I'm doing something, I run into some kind of computer glitch and I have to call Microsoft or Xerox or one of these companies and be on the phone for hours, you know, and that's the end of the productivity. So I love the way you described it as not just productivity, not just this high performance outward action.
No, it has to, because if you think about it, I mean, I was a productivity, quote unquote, expert in the corporate environment. And really, if you just look at productivity by itself and you don't have clarity first, that's why in certified high performance coaching, we look at all those areas, clarity, energy, courage, then productivity, right, and influence. Because, look, if you don't have clarity about where you're going and you're productive, basically, you could be going the wrong way faster, right? So it's not just about productivity.
Right.
You need to have clarity first. Right? And energy and courage to do the right things, to step up. So productivity, you're right, is just a small piece. But that said, once you do have clarity and energy and courage, then yes, productivity is important, and you know, we work with people to make sure that they get the right things done. Everyone's busy all the time with busy work, but most people aren't actually doing the things that really and truly move their dreams and desires forward. And that's what being truly productive is about. It's about not just being busy, but being busy doing the right things that are the important things to get done.
So just, can you give an example of a right thing to get done?
Yeah, you know, figure that out for you and write it down, right? Like write down what your goal or desire is for this year, for example, right? So just one, right? Just let's pick one. And then write down the steps to do that. I mean, a lot of this stuff is really common sense, but it's not common practice, right? So like, here's
right.
an example. Someone wants to write a book, right? I talked to a guy, you know, the other day who, you know, said he's been writing a book. I said, well, for how long? He said, for 6 years. And I said, okay, you're not writing a book.
Like that. I know.
You're thinking about writing a book. He's like, no, it's a creative process. And I'm like, show me your diary. Show me your, we call a diary here, like a calendar in Australia. I use Australian terms because I've been acclimated here, but show me your schedule. Where on there is writing a book? He's like, what do you mean? I said, well, you're not writing a book. You're thinking about it. And, you know, there's nothing on your calendar. So, I mean, the simple step of writing down what you need to do and then making block time available for that. Like, so this person, you know, in this example that we're talking about, wrote down, then just started with an hour a week. Hour a week, he's going to sit there and write that book. Well, then once that traction started happening, then he felt motivated. Now it's 2 hours a week, right? On the calendar, written down, in block time, no distractions, nothing else. He's moving that forward. That 6 years, you know, within 6 months, the book was written, done, right? Over. So it only took
Absolutely.
6 months. Now, and by the way, it doesn't have to take that long, but because that's even a long time, but it's certainly a lot less time than 6 years. And so I ask your listeners to think about, what are those things that you're thinking about, you know, doing? And it might not be a project like writing a book. It might be going on that vacation, taking that cruise, or having that special time with your family, or going after that job, or getting that, you know, education or that credential, or taking the course, or whatever it is. Write it down. Put it on your calendar. Talk to others about it so that you actually get that momentum of people holding you accountable as well, so that you can move that forward and then work on those things and move those things forward. Don't get busy with all this other stuff that you're doing that is actually contributing to chasing other people's dreams, other people's desires. That's when we feel out of balance, Erica. That's when we feel like we're not living our true best selves, because we're taken off of our path, right? And that's not to say you can't help other people with their dreams too, but, you know, do that from a heart-based center where you're actually feeling good about doing that. But don't do that at the expense of going after your dreams and desires. So write it down, make block time available, and take steps every single day, if not week. I mean, write it on the calendar, right? But have a pattern in place that allows you to consistently move the needle, because a year will go by anyway. So in a year from now, it'll either be done or you'll still be talking about it. So it's up to you.
And I just have to add that I know personally that it doesn't have to take 6 years. I joined something called NaNoWriMo, National November Writers Month, and I wrote a novel in 1 month because they
there
had
you go.
A whole system that you write every day and you check with them and you see how everyone else is doing, and they had a party before and a party at the end. So you had support, and I just did it. But you have to do it. That's the thing. There's a lot of people I know signed up, and then they did it for a few days, and then they just didn't continue. So you've got to do whatever it is and do it.
It's about taking action, which we talked about before, right? Even when you know those two reasons why people don't have that change, right? They know what they need to do, but they don't then have the ability to take action. So that's very well stated.
All right. So now I would love you to explain, what is the BUILD framework? Tell us the meaning of it, the details.
Yeah, sure. And obviously I won't go into the whole entire thing. We'll be here all day,
of
right?
Of course.
But the BUILD framework is an acronym, actually. I love acronyms, right? So BUILD is in all capital letters. And BUILD stands for the following. So B is for build relationships. U is for understand the business. I is for implement strategies. L is for lead and inspire. And D is for deliver excellence. So together, all of these things enable you to literally build the framework for maximizing both your personal and professional potential. So, you know, what we do in the book is we go into each of these aspects, and an important part of this whole framework is that each of these areas are not mutually exclusive, right? So it's like what we talked about with high performance coaching, right? You have the clarity, energy, courage, productivity, influence. It's like working on all those things, right? Build is the same way. And it literally kind of builds on each other. So by that, I mean, building relationships is always the first step. I mean, think about your success, Erica, right? It's like you start with building relationships. And then with those relationships,
Absolutely.
You're able to understand the business better. And when you understand the business better, we have this thing in the build framework that we call centrifugal looping. It goes back to B, so then you foster and create even more meaningful relationships so that you understand the business even better. So then that propels you to I, which is implement strategies. So that's about strategic thinking and not just implementing anything, but implementing the right strategies based upon your understanding of the business, which is based upon building relationships, right? And then the same is true for leading and inspiring. You do that based upon everything before it. And finally, it all comes together in the heart with delivering excellence and understanding what that is from your customer's perspective and how all the things prior to it, the relationships, the understanding of the business, the strategies you're implementing, how you're leading and inspiring, how all of that leads to deliver excellence. So that's what the build framework is all about. And it's about personal and professional path.
Maybe just explain a little more about what you mean by excellence. What is, it's not perfection.
No, I mean, excellence is how you feel, right? We're talking about, you know, the word balance is probably overused in today's society. So some people like integration more or whatever the right word is for you. It's not about the word, it's about the feeling, right? And the feeling is really that joy, that enthusiasm, that ability to realize that you don't feel overwhelmed, right? And that's why I mentioned this is a personal and professional plan, right, from the standpoint of a heart-based system, because it's not just about growth professionally or growth personally, because, you know, your understanding of the business could be understanding the business of your life, of running the household or whatever you're doing, right? Because all of these things come together. So that, you know, success that you're talking about is really how we're feeling that we talked about before. You know, are you really enthusiastic, joyful? You're feeling like every day you're moving the needle towards your dreams and desires. So sometimes it's easy to look at the opposite of that and then realize, oh, that might be a red flag. So, you know, here's the opposite. Are you feeling overwhelmed, right? Are you feeling stressed out? Are you feeling tired all the time? Are you feeling like you're just stuck and not moving forward? It's stagnant, like things aren't, you know, as joyful and as enthusiastic as life used to be, right? So when you're experiencing those things, that's, you know, not success from my standpoint. So any of those things are kind of an indication that, yeah, you can turn that around. So what the build framework allows you to do is really to look at these different aspects of your life, because when you have time allocation and deliverables in each of these areas and you see how they work together as a framework, right? It's not really about tools and techniques and habits. I mean, I teach all that with certified high performance coaching, and that's great. But really, most people, Erica, have tools and techniques. They have understandings. They have a host of experiences that they've had throughout their lives that are just so valuable. But what they don't have is a framework to allow them to access the things that are important in a way that builds them that success that we just talked about.
So, what can people do to make each day better and to maybe make this year the best year ever?
Yeah, well, they can do a lot of things. I think that it's really about looking at, you know, understanding that thing that we talked about are you really living your best self, right? And how can you step up to actually being your best self, right? So, you know, for a lot of people, that's getting a coach or going to a program, because that coach helps them, right, understand what those habits are that they can actually step up to. And if you think about it, you know, all these professional athletes out there in the world, they all have coaches, right? And we all would think that it would be
Absolutely.
Silly if they didn't, right? But so few people have that, you know, either personally or professionally or both in their lives to allow them to actually, you know, step up to their best self. So really it's about, you know, having a framework that connects with you and understanding that there is a system in place to make you achieve your best self and become into that level that you know are just dreaming of. It's like the analogy or the actual application that you talked about, Erica, with that book, right? I mean, the system was there to write a book in a month, right? And you had the coaching, and then you just needed to engage and do it. And because you did, you were able to write a novel in a month, right?
I never would have done it just on my own to decide to do something like that. You know, there was a momentum in the way it was structured.
Exactly, and that's the point. And that's what we do. I mean, the key areas that people really need to look at, and this is what we do in Certified High Performance Coaching, is we look at clarity, energy, courage, productivity, and influence. So those are kind of the tools and techniques that you can, you know, find yourself, you know, increasing all of those areas. And then we talk about the framework, right? Which, again, the build framework, which is the one that I created. So obviously I'm biased and I love it. And that's why I work with my clients.
Tell us about your In Balance with Life program and your coaching and your book. How can people get access to this?
Yeah, so, you know, there's a wealth of information available at thebuildframework.com. And people can also check out jphighperformancecoach.com for even more transformational tools. And that really, you know, gets into coaching programs and things like that. I'm on Facebook. I'm on, you know, Instagram. They can just look up JP High Performance Coach or, you know, find me through the website. And I'm happy to talk to anyone about how I may be of service and add value to their lives. TheBuildFramework.com, right? TheBuildFramework.com. And there's links there to the book, the course, the show. So not only do you have the book available, and that's on Amazon, and it's, you know, audiobook, ebook, all versions of the book, hardback, softback cover, all of it. But there's a course, too, that takes people beyond the book that really allows them to implement that. And then I have a Build show on YouTube as well, where we interview guests around the world who have implemented the Build framework and are obtaining and sustaining lasting transformational success in their lives. And they talk about the personal stories that they have with the Build framework.
Wow. It's really been wonderful speaking with you today. And I'd just like you to give just a last couple of words. What would you recommend to someone who right now is stuck and wants to make a change and doesn't know where to begin?
Look, I would say you don't have to live in Struggleville is what I call it, right? And that there is a way out. And even if you don't consider yourself struggling right now, if you long for a better, more fulfilled, kind of connected, joyful life experience with more balance, then, you know, I would encourage them to reach out to thebuildframework.com or jphighperformancecoach.com and take a look at those tools and programs and techniques. And if it resonates with you, then reach out. And the most important thing is to then take action. Do something and realize that time's going to go by anyway. So as time goes by, you can either evolve or not, right? So make a choice today to take action to improve your life and step into your best self.
Thank you so much for being on the show today. It was delightful.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
I'm your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, saying goodbye for now. Please visit my website, drericagoodstone.com, for a complimentary Love Mastery Secret session and free gifts and lots of audios and videos, etc. And I look forward to speaking to you again soon.